This morning, take your Bible with me now, please, and turn to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, just as a reminder to you, parents of teens, tonight after the evening service, there's a very important teen parent meeting with the youth pastor. Tonight, by the way, Pastor Ryan is going to be speaking this evening. He is a tremendous preacher. If you haven't had the opportunity to hear him, you need to come and hear him in person. Parents of teens, you need to be here. Now, teens, don't worry. There's going to be pizza afterwards for all the teens and for their parents as well. So if you've got a teenager involved in the youth group, you need to not be missing the evening service tonight because it's very important. We'll be giving you some details about different trips that are coming up, activities. I will be there at the teen parent meeting. I've got a few things I need to say to the parents and to the teens as well. So please join us for that really important meeting tonight. Philippians chapter 1 in your Bible. Philippians 1 in your Bible. I firmly believe what I'm about to say. Fear is the greatest manipulative weapon in the devil's arsenal. I'm going to repeat it again. Fear is the greatest manipulative weapon in the devil's arsenal. There are other things that he can use, the temptation to sin, but sin is easily solvable. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are things that he can use, conflict between people, but after all, conflict between people, that is solvable in one word, forgive. Division among people is solvable in the words of Jesus, love thy neighbor. But one thing the devil knows is that fear implanted into the heart of an individual, fear implanted corporately, systemically within an institution, that fear can manipulate to the point of bringing that individual or that institution to neutrality. In other words, the devil knows if he can inflict fear upon God's people, he has by and large won the battle. Why is that? Because fear does an awful lot of things. Fear forces people into conformity. We've seen that in the last 2 years in our country. Fear causes suspicion. Things you never wondered about your neighbor, you're now encouraged to wonder about, because rather than love thy neighbor, you should fear thy neighbor, is what we're being told. Do you understand how diabolical that message is coming from the highest offices of the land? You need to understand that is nothing but Satanism. It is nothing but diabolical. Fear causes suspicion. Fear, by the way, silences. This is something that really bothers me, because in a day and time when the voice of the church should be louder than ever and clearer than ever, it is more muddied than ever by some, in order to preserve in the institution or in order to preserve the peace. Fear silences. Fear controls. When a person is controlled, they're controlled by that fear so that they are limited. Fear reinforces weakness. When I embrace fear, I also embrace weakness. Fear does a lot of things. Fear restrains me from creativity. Fear says, Pastor Monty, you better not say that. By the way, I've overcome that fear a long time ago. But fear says you should hold back in what you're saying, or don't say it quite that way. Don't be so clear. Maybe you should just beat around the bush. Maybe you should just hint once in a while. The devil doesn't hint. The devil shrieks in our ears 24 hours a day through media outlets and social media and every possible medium. But fear reinforces weakness. Fear makes us dependent, doesn't it? If I'm fearful, I can become dependent. And if I can become dependent, I can become controlled. Fear is a prison without walls. When a person is locked in his own fear, he may as well be locked behind bars. By the way, there's a psychological attempt afoot to lock you up in your own prison of fear. Fear makes us doubt and disobey God. That really happens today. Not so much here in America, although we have been tried a bit and tested a bit. But in other countries, fear tempts us to simply disobey God. We doubt Him. We hold back on what we're clearly told to do because of fear. Fear permanently wounds the human psyche. We have yet to see the results of that, which will only be revealed over time. Imposing fear upon its citizenry is the primary tactic of every totalitarian government in the world. To control you, you must fear them. But let me be very clear, and you do a Bible study on your own if you doubt what I'm about to say. Fear is not something that is praised in the Bible. The Bible repeatedly, and I'm not talking about just the New Testament, I'm talking about Old and New Testament. The Bible repeatedly warns us against fear. Example of that, Proverbs 29:25, the Bible says this, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." If I'm afraid of what someone else thinks or what someone else is going to do, it is a snare or it is a trap for me. That, by the way, is particularly true for a preacher. If I'm hesitant to say something because of so-and-so or hesitant to do something because of so-and-so, that hesitancy ultimately is a trap. Because my responsibility is to preach the Word of God and let the chips fall where they may. It is not to fear man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. John, the great apostle of love, John said this. He said, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." 1 John 4:18. What is that talking about? Fear is not a good thing. Over and over in the Bible, Paul had to admonish Timothy, a young pastor, the pastor of the church at Ephesus. "Timothy, man up! Don't fear. Don't fear." Our theme this year is the word bold. The word bold. It is an opposite attitude to the word fear. Now, by the way, already I hear in the arguments of some in their mind, "Well, Pastor Monty, we have to use caution and we have to have wisdom." More often than not, in recent days, the words caution and wisdom have masqueraded around, and behind them is really fear. It's really fear. "Well, but Pastor Monty, you need to be more careful." No, what you're saying is we need to be more timid. What you mean by that is we need to be more fearful. Now let me make a statement. I never find that spirit in the book of Acts. I never find it. All I find is they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spake the word of God with boldness. You do a study, if you'd like, sometime on the word bold and boldness as found in the New Testament. I think you'll be astounded as to how bold was the early church. And we owe them a tremendous debt of gratitude. Because if any group of people were ever under pressure, we're not under pressure right now. We're not under pressure right now. But if any group of people were ever under pressure, the New Testament church was under life and death pressure, and they stood. And we're here in a free country preaching the grace of Jesus Christ because of their boldness. Ladies and gentlemen, the church must reject the spirit of fear and embrace the New Testament of the New Testament example of boldness for Christ. Rejecting fear and embracing boldness and simply standing for God, His Word, and Jesus Christ, come what may. Say, "Pastor Monty, how do we accomplish something like this? How do we accomplish that?" Number one, we believe that God has a purpose in our present circumstance. God has a purpose in our present circumstance. You say, "Pastor, what is that?" Look at verse number 12 with me, if you will, please, verse 12. The Bible says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." What happened to Paul? Paul, at this very moment, as he was writing to the church at Philippi, he was imprisoned in Rome. He was no stranger to the prison because he had already been imprisoned on the first missionary journey. He and Silas had already been imprisoned in the book of Acts. The church at Philippi was aware of this, and I can almost hear someone in the church at Philippi saying something like this, "Boy, you know, the apostle Paul got imprisoned at Philippi when he was here visiting with us. It got a little rowdy and Paul got imprisoned. You'd sure think Paul would learn by now." I'm glad Paul didn't learn. But he steadfastly preached the gospel. See, Paul knew something that we need to learn. He knew that God had a purpose. Verse 12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Look at verse 13. "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Paul writes this having been imprisoned at Rome. He said, "Oh, Pastor Monty, worst thing that could ever happen, the great apostle Paul in prison." No, no. Paul said, "The things that happened to me have happened rather to the furtherance of the gospel." You see, the timing was just right. Look at me, folks. I'm called of God to be your pastor in 2022. You're called of God to be here, a member or friend of this church in 2022. "Oh, but Pastor, I long for the good old days." Long all you want, they are gone. But I'm not longing for the good old days. I'm looking forward to serving Christ in my generation, regardless of how challenging that may be, and that means that God's timing is just perfect. And I can't long for 2 years ago or 3 years ago or back when they used to say everything was normal. I can't long for that. Because God put us as a church family here at a given period of time with a given mission to march forward into our community and boldly tell people about Jesus Christ. That's the mission. You say, "But Pastor Monty, it's harder." No, actually, in many ways, it's easier. People are wanting to listen. Believe that God has a purpose in our present circumstances. There's the matter of timing. There's always the matter of challenges. Paul brings it up right away in verse number 12. He says, "The things which happened unto me." Now, he doesn't say that in the way of random things, because God himself is sovereign. But he said, "Those things that happened to me, rather than being a hindrance to the gospel, have actually promoted the gospel." An illustration of this, when we endeavored to build this building to the glory of Christ and for His work, and that's why it's here. When we endeavored to do this and we broke ground shortly after that, boom, COVID hit. And I remember I was nervous. I'll be honest with you. I'll be totally transparent. I am a human being. I was nervous. Crowds dwindled. Our beloved President Donald Trump. I love Donald. Our beloved President Donald Trump got nervous, so we had to shut down. We folks are in a building program. And in the back of my mind, I thought, what in the world? I remember laying awake one night and saying, "Lord, that's your church. It ain't mine. That's your church, Lord." And do you know what God did? He did exceeding abundantly, beyond everything I could ever ask or think as a preacher. And God had a specific purpose in the timing. God works these things out. He had a purpose in the challenges. Obedience to God has its consequences. But if I obey those consequences, I endanger myself to be disobedient. There's timing, there's challenges. There's a word I'm going to use, counterintuitive. If you notice in verse number 12, he says, "The things which happened unto me have fallen out," note the next word, rather. Do you know what God can do? He's Pastor Monty, if we do this, and this, you're going to get in trouble. No. God can take what we think is trouble and turn it into triumph. God can take what we think is bad and turn it into good. When the Apostle Paul was being arrested and brought to the Mamertine prison in Rome, when the Apostle Paul was being confined, the Apostle Paul never for one moment thought, "Oh no, it's all over." He recognized that his boldness in Christ would be rewarded with a multiplied ministry. And so it counterintuitively, he says, "Hey, my being locked up should have kind of put the clamp down on the gospel," and it didn't. Tyranny has an old trick. Tyranny always intends to suppress the gospel. And everywhere tyranny has ever tried that, it has magnified the preaching of the Word of God. It's funny how people become more bold in a situation like that. We believe God has a purpose for us in our present circumstances because it makes us productive. He speaks of the furtherance of the gospel. This captivity actually expanded Paul's ministry. Look at verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest, notice this, in all the palace and in all other places where the Roman Caesar lives, in the palace where I was brought to before the journey to Rome. Paul was recounting in his mind the opportunity that he had to speak to officials of the highest level, both in Palestine and later in Rome. And he said, the things that have befallen me, don't think they're bad. They've opened wide the doors of opportunity. I firmly believe that in our day and time. Now, by the way, the church has to just wake up. I'm talking about the church across America. We have to wake up. Oh, but Pastor Monty, we're just gonna lay low, turn down all the lights, have a candle and a Bible study. That's nowhere in the Bible. The Lord's church is a shining light. Jesus said that no man takes a candle and lights it and then covers it with a bushel basket. But rather, he said, we put it up in a lampstand. Why? So it can give light to everyone. And then Jesus said to his disciples, ye are the light of the world. Bold, bold. I believe God has a purpose for us in our present circumstances. Secondly, I believe God can use us to inspire others. Look at verse number 14, please, with me. Verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Huh? Yeah, Paul said, I got locked up back in Philippi, but, you know, the angel did something for us there. And now he said, I'm in Rome, and all the words on the street, the Apostle Paul is locked up. But it didn't cause the church to fear. Rather, Paul said, the brethren, genuine believers, because of my example of willingness to go through imprisonment, they are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. It is not boldness that is demoralizing. It is cowardice that is demoralizing. Cowardice fails to inspire. Courage always inspires. The word encourage, by the way, what does encourage mean? To infuse a sense of courage. Courage inspires boldness in others. Did you know sometimes people just need a little push? So let me talk to you about this for a minute. I am who I am, so I'm not going to change. And I like to lead out in a big way. By the way, that's really grating to some people. Too bad. I like to lead out in a big way because I believe that that style of leadership gives everyone just a little push and they get encouraged. Paul was identical. Paul did the exact same thing. Just a little bit of courage. My mind goes back to the classic story of one of the greatest men to live, I think, in the 20th century, and a great personal hero of mine, Winston Churchill, who at the height of the bombing of London, as the German Luftwaffe was flying over the city of London, at night he was in a dinner party with some people, and all of a sudden the alarm sounded, and he was supposed to get down into some bunker somewhere, and as the alarm is going off, Churchill changed out of his dinner attire. He put on a jumpsuit that he kept handy, just for such an occasion. And one of the people asked, Mr. Churchill, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to the roof of the building. He was supposed to be down in a bunker somewhere. Mr. Churchill, you can't go on the roof. He said, I'm going to get a glimpse of the enemy. And as the alarm is sounding, he climbed the stairs, got onto the roof, and eyewitnesses said this, that in the light of that moon, as the bombs of the Luftwaffe were dropping all over London, destroying the city, Winston Churchill stood with his fist in the air and defied the Nazis. Can I tell you something? That inspires boldness. That inspires courage. By boldness, we have the ability to inspire others. Some people just need that little push. The Bible says this, Paul said, that they were much more bold to speak the word without fear. What does that mean? having seen Paul's imprisonment, they became more free in their ability to communicate the message of the word. I think I'll just go there. I was greatly inspired by some American evangelical pastors who refused to bow to the draconian pressure of their state, particularly California, and continued to operate and keep their churches open. Who, over the course of doing that, were threatened by hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of fines, and who simply kept their doors open and kept having church in obedience to God. Well, you say, but Pastor Monty, what happened when? And of course this happens. The legal pressure comes and they start suing and fining and all of it starts to build. What happens then? Some of those men simply didn't bow. And listen carefully to what I'm going to say. By not bowing, they won. And because they didn't bow, they inspired men like me and other men all over the country to simply dig in our heels, stand up, and know when enough is enough, and know when to say no. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the boldness that we need today. Inspired. I want to be an inspiration to others and our church to be so. I believe God can use us to inspire others. And then I believe God is greater than any perceived risk. Drop down with me, if you will, to verse number 19. Paul said this. I catch the spirit of this, please. Paul said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Now, the word salvation there is not talking about his spiritual salvation. He's already saved. It's talking about his deliverance from prison. He is in a Roman prison, and he says this. He says, "Now, I know that because of you, because of your prayers, and because of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of boldness, I know that I'll be delivered from this." And then verse number 20 says this, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Huh. Did you note those words? Church, look at those words again. Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now, in verse 19, he said God can deliver us from the consequences of our boldness. He expected to get out of prison, and indeed he did. God will ultimately deliver us, though, from the negative consequences that this world can throw at us. Paul said, "In nothing to be ashamed." Pastor Monty's locked up in prison. That's no shame if you're there for Jesus Christ. Paul said this, "With all boldness, not hesitating." Oh boy, me and my big mouth. Can you imagine Paul saying this? Boy, I can see some people saying, can you imagine Paul saying, "Me and my big mouth got me into trouble once again. I better just tone it down." No. Paul said, "With all boldness," he said, "just as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified." Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're to do. Pastor Marty, what does magnified mean? It means to make it bigger. Jesus Christ needs to be bigger in our community by the testimony of this church. That's not going to happen if we just hunker down. Pastor, I wish you would just be a little more under the radar. I want Christ to be magnified. And do you know what Paul said? And this is the crazy part. This is the part where a lot of people are, "I'm not so sure about all this testimony." "That Christ may be magnified in my body," he said, "whether it be by life or by death." I want every eye up here. That is the spirit of the New Testament. Let me assure you of something. Cowardice does not preserve a church. Cowardice kills a church. We're never called to be cowards. We're never called to fly under the radar. Timidity is a slow and painful death for any organization. but especially for one in the New Testament sense that is called to boldness. And I will tell us this as a congregation, that we as Christians have nothing to fear but fear itself. We really don't. I'm not a prophet, and I make no predictions. In this day and time, you're crazy to make predictions. It's always worse than you could possibly imagine. But right now, as we speak, the Russians have amassed troops on the Ukrainian border. Pastor Monty, are they really? I don't know. Somehow, for some reason that is quite beyond my comprehension, we'd probably end up getting involved. I personally don't like that. But be it as it may, I can't make predictions. But this I can tell you. Things are going to happen in the course of this year that are going to be different from anything we ever expected. And our response needs to be boldness for the cause of Jesus Christ. Our response needs to be accepting the challenge, because that's what we're called to. We're here, we're now, we're living. Pastor, I'd be so much more comfortable if you would just be the little brown church in the Wildwood. Oh, come, 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 come. That's a song that they just couldn't think of better words, right? Come, come, come to the church in the Wildwood, where nothing ever gets preached, where we have a potluck and supper, and no souls ever get reached. I just made that up standing here. Folks, thank you. Thank you. Somebody needs to write that down. Very catchy tune, actually. That's not the church that God calls us to. God calls us to be bold for His name. He calls us to be light in darkness. He calls us to be salt in corruption. He calls us to shake the bush a little bit. He calls us to rock the boat a little bit. He calls us to make a few waves and to do it for the sake and the cause of Jesus Christ. Now here's what I want you to do. Take out your little flyer. Take out your little flyer. I'm not going to cover this in depth this morning because most of you can read. But I want to remind you of why we're here. And I'm looking at the second page over where it talks about we exist to proclaim. We exist to proclaim. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to proclaim a clear and unapologetic biblical message. You have my word, congregation, that is what I will do. I don't have any other tricks up my sleeve anyway, but just to preach the Bible. We're not going to apologize for the truth of the Bible, nor are we going to downplay it, nor are we going to make it tailor the current fads of culture. We're not going to do that. We're not going to tailor it to the cultural fads. We're going to preach. We're going to have this year, and I'm excited about this, a spring revival with Adrian Burden. He is going to be coming for a spring revival, and we're excited to have him. He came and did a youth revival for us. I listened to him. I thought his messages were tremendous. I want him to preach here in the church. That's going to be exciting. Beginning on March the 5th, we're going to have a monthly Go and Tell event. That's where we go out and reach our community with the gospel using various messages. March the 5th, for example, we're going to be promoting our Easter Sunday. That kind of is a big crowd, of course, in every church. We're going to promote that. We're going to have more involvement in community-sponsored events. We've added two different events that we've not been at before. By the way, those always bring people into the church and under the sound of the gospel. And you say, Pastor Monty, you know, just getting out in the community. Yes. That's the job of the Lord's church. And every one of these events is very evangelistic with gospel literature, gospel conversations, attempts to win people to Christ. We have fresh new gospel resources available to you because boldness isn't just within the confines of the church. Boldness is something that we do outside. Pastor Monty, I need something to give to somebody. You'll notice there's a new rack. I think we're adding a couple more in the church as well, but right outside the lobby with all kinds of literature, some small, some larger, little booklet-sized literature. that you can give to someone as a gift. If you, say, Pastor Monty, I don't know what to say to people, you'd be amazed. People will read that. Give those things away. We want to provide that for you. Of course, to deepen. We're always trying to grow as Christians. What does that mean? Adult Sunday school classes. Folks, listen, if you're not involved in a Sunday school class, get involved in a Sunday school class to deepen your life. Our summer series. Oh, I can't wait. And gentlemen, listen. Our summer series is where we, on Wednesday night, split into groups. Men, we had fun this last summer. We're going to double the fun this summer. Okay, so we're going to have a men's group. We'll have other topics. We'll be announcing those. Of course, our WANA clubs for families. And by the way, what a great way to introduce your neighbors to this church is by bringing their kids or encouraging them to bring their kids. I'm super excited about our teen group, Faith Teens, Pastor Ryan. I'm going to do a tremendous job. Come to the meeting tonight. These are just some things we're going to be doing. Of course, we have a ladies' Bible study. We can give you more information on that. Then something I'm really excited about is our equip workshops. Our equip, what, Pastor, what is this? This is where we're going to train you in areas of service in the church. And here's why. Look at me. Every single one of us should be doing something for God. You say, Pastor Monty, I'm not gifted. You are too. Everybody has at least one gift. You got to figure it out and then serve God with it. But you say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to do it. We're going to have, beginning very shortly here, on January 29th, we're going to be having equip times. There's details coming out about that. And then, of course, Pastor Morris provides family devotions. We're excited about the work that he does, and that's electronic. You need to sign up for that. Here's something brand new under serving others. This is brand new. In addition to everything else we do, DeGrady and the bus ministry, Good News Ministry Services, we're adding something new. Pastor Ryan, when he was in West Virginia, he headed up an exciting outreach of providing full Thanksgiving dinners to needy families in the community. He has, Pastor Ryan right here, he has a plan that is already tried and true of how we can reach people. And by the way, every person in this room will be able to contribute in some way, small or big. You'll be able to contribute in some way. And every gift box that we give out is going to have the gospel of Christ in that box for every single family. Pastor, why is that? All these things are platforms for the gospel. But we want to be more bold in our outreach. We want to get into homes that we would never get into. We want to extend the love of Christ to places that have never heard of our church. Maybe some families, not unlikely today, who've never heard of Christ. That's part of the ministry of our church. We have a DeGrady ministry, that is to cancer patients. You can read about that. And of course, our bus ministry. We'll be having an equip session dealing with the bus ministry to train volunteers for that. And then the work we do at Good News Mission. You say, Pastor, why bring up all of these things? Here's the reason why. I want 2022 to be the most bold year in the history of our church. I want, as your pastor, I never want to cower. You're not going to see me doing that, okay? But I want, as your pastor, to lead. And when I look behind me, I want to see a vast army that is not just trying to hold ground, not in some weird defensive position. Oh, no, the devil's just about to get us. I am not playing that game with the devil. I want to look behind my back and see an army of people who are marching forward to the tune, Lead on, O King Eternal. The day of march has come. I want to have an army that leads on to the singing of the hymn, Encamped along the hills of night, ye Christian soldiers rise, and catch the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Faith is the victory. I want to see an army of people walking behind, marching behind as we go into the devil's lair this year. I want to see an army of people marching behind, singing the hymn, Soldiers of Christ, arise! Put your armor on. Stand firm in the grace that He provides. Ladies and gentlemen, what does the Bible say? We will be bold for Him. By His grace, we're going to rise up. By His grace, we're going to impact with the love of Jesus Christ a community. By His grace, we're not going to inspire fear, but we're going to inspire courage. And as we do, Jesus Christ will be magnified. Let's do that in 2022, church. Get involved. Get active. Get committed. Say, God, may Christ have all the glory, we pray. Father, thank you for this great group of people who love you and who desire to serve you. Lord, we live in pressured times, and Lord, we're glad because you have called us to this place for such a time as this. Now, God, help us to adopt the spirit of the New Testament, not shrinking back in fear, not hesitating, but God, preaching with boldness and clarity the love of a Savior who died for a sinful mankind. Lord, we are broken people, and our brokenness shows up in a thousand ways today. God, I pray you'll inspire each of us in an effort of boldness to take ground, perhaps, that's been the devil's far too long. And God, give us of thy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. If there's anyone here that needs Christ, help them on this very day to find him as their Savior, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please, everyone. Everyone standing together, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation this morning. The hymn of invitation is an opportunity